some DRG Media Group News and Farm Director Jody Heemstra having a chance to visit with South Dakota Governor Christine Noem to recap the 2021 legislative session here in South Dakota. It was a busy session, a unique session, Governor, with $300+ million in one-time money that was put to some pretty creative uses, I thought.
It was an interesting session because of the historic revenues that we saw coming in. You know, South Dakota had a lot of extra sales tax dollars that came in. There was some federal stimulus dollars that came because of legislation that passed. So yes, we put money into trust funds, we put money into reserves, and then we invested into long-term projects. So we built out the rail line from Pier to Rapid City. That'll be incredibly important for our economy. Did broadband all the way across the state. Funded the Freedom Scholarship, the first needs-based scholarship in the state, and the Dakota Events Complex in Huron, too, which will be a national attraction for livestock and rodeo events.
Talk a little bit more about the Freedom Scholarship. Is that a one-year project because of this extra money, or is this something that's going to go into perpetuity? So our, you know, young kids, when they get to time, to it'll be there to help them for post-secondary education as well.
Right. It's a $200 million endowment that will go to pay out scholarships every year now far into the future. So what happened is that First Premier and Denny Sanford put $100 million in, and they asked me if I would ever consider matching it with state funds. And so I put $50 million request in my budget I sent to the legislature, and they did agree to that. So now we have $150 million of the $200 necessary. And since then, Avira and Sanford have both stepped up, said they would each do 12.5. So now we just have $25 million more to raise from businesses and individuals in the state to meet that $200 million endowment. And what's so historic about this is that for years, we have wanted to do a needs-based scholarship in the state. So many kids just can't financially afford to go on to a four-year degree or technical education, and we wanted to create an opportunity for them to get a scholarship to go on and pursue their careers. So we are actually the last state in the nation to have one, but we think it's a unique opportunity for us to fully fund it in 1 year, get it going, so it'll be there for years and years to come to benefit our youth. And it also has a key to it that it asks those kids, if they get the scholarship, that they stay in South Dakota for a number of years afterwards. So it's encouraging them to stay here, keep their families here, and to make their life here.
Is there a limited number of scholarships available each year?
It's going to be a little bit different. It's open to the public universities and private universities in the state. Each of them will be allocated a certain dollar amount to use for students to recruit to their universities on a needs-based formula that I think will be a little bit unique based on where the funding comes from. So, you know, it's going to be a little bit different, probably between SDSU or the School of Mines or Dakota State University, but it'll all be based on, you know, their needs in giving them an opportunity to be successful.
And kind of tying in with students and having to do remote learning and is broadband. $100 million finally going to get, hopefully, the entire state having access to some good quality internet.
Yeah, there's one thing we've learned is that people want to live where they want to live and be able to work. They don't want to have to, you know, live where their job is. And this COVID-19 pandemic taught us that we need to have this kind of infrastructure everywhere in our state so every single community can grow. So last year I asked the legislature to put $10 million into broadband. They did that. It partnered with federal dollars and private dollars to do an incredible amount of build out. This year, I asked them for $100 million that would complete that project and continue to partner with federal dollars and those private telecom industries that are investing in this as well and build out the rest of the state. So I'm just absolutely thrilled that the legislature supported this and recognized the opportunity that we have to bring this kind of connection to our schools, to our kids in their homes that are in remote areas. It also will allow us to do telehealth in all corners of the state, which we learned was so important during this pandemic, and then give people the opportunity to do their business right there in their hometown and do it with a reliable internet speed and access that is so necessary in today's day and age.
The big three, as they're referred to in South Dakota, state employees, community support providers and education. All you proposed an increase in your budget, and the legislature came through with that as well.
I asked for 2.4% increase for all of them, which was more than was required, but it was an inflationary increase that I thought was necessary. And for some of those community support providers, we went above and beyond as well. Also in education, we allowed them to hold harmless on their enrollment numbers. A lot of schools saw their enrollment numbers go down, and they would have lost some revenue coming into their district because of that and because of, you know, the consequences of the pandemic. So the state held them harmless and put another $11 million into schools during that time, and then also made sure that we were fixing the health plan for state employees. You know, that was always kind of an issue for us in the state of South Dakota. Many times the health plan was running at a deficit, and we put that on a long-term plan now that would be sustainable far into the future. So this session was kind of all about fixing things that we have always wanted to do but didn't have the revenue to do, or to create an opportunity for us to build into economic growth and opportunities into the future. So what I asked the legislature was, let's not just look at short-term projects. Let's look at investing in things that we'll still be seeing the benefits from 20, 30 years far into the future. And I was very glad they caught that vision, because they looked at every project through that lens. How will this benefit us 20 years from now? And if it wasn't something that we could prove was worthy of that kind of consideration, you know, it wasn't necessarily in the top tier of requests.
Agriculture is, of course, South Dakota's largest industry, and a couple of ag topics that came up. First, the merger of the Department of Agriculture and the Department of Environment and Natural Resources. Where are we at in the process? Are they still two departments right now? Is there an official date for when they become the Department of Ag and Natural Resources?
Those transfers are happening as we speak, and really the goal here is to create a one-stop shop for producers. You know, agriculture is our number one industry, and we wanted to build some efficiencies in, eliminate some confusion on which agency do we go to for this permit, which agency do we go to do this, you know, regulatory paperwork process. And we wanted to make sure it was the same place to be all the time, that they knew which agency to go to. So it's called DANR now, Department of Ag and Natural Resources, and they'll be able to go in and get all their needs met. And it also helps us by putting those engineers and water quality experts side by side with our agricultural industry experts, so that they have more interaction, conversation, and have people well informed on all areas of how this interfaces within agriculture and protecting our environment and stewardship going forward. So I'm excited about what this can create, the money it can save taxpayers, but also the streamlining and efficiency that it'll build in for our agriculture producers.
The next big thing in South Dakota we think is going to be in agriculture, and bioprocessing is the topic that has come up the most. There's a joint project, SDSU and School of Mines.
We had a year or so ago, we added a degree program in bioprocessing. We wanted to be one of the first states to offer this, especially because of, you know, the importance of biodiesel, ethanol in the state of South Dakota. We just really believe it's a part of our energy future and something that really has boosted South Dakota's economy. So this year we invested in a bioprocessing facility at SDSU's campus. I think that was a $20 million project that the state will be putting into that in partnership with other dollars. But also School of Mines is going to be providing some resources and have a part in this program as well, because of the high quality engineering skills and education that'll be necessary to get this kind of a degree. So we're thrilled to see these kind of partnerships with our universities, and this investment in this building facilities, professors, and degree program is going to make sure that we not only have kids that have another opportunity for a different kind of degree program, but they'll be able to stay here, be a part of these great companies that have been the backbone of South Dakota for so long, and then give our farmers that added market of ethanol and biodiesel that they've always had to keep their prices sustainable and to help grow their businesses. So it really is a full circle investment that is going to be a wonderful thing to watch develop over the years. And we are one of the first states in the country to really do this type of investment into this program. So I think the rest of the country will be watching us, and we'll be able to recruit kids from other states to come here and be a part of it as well.
And this aligns quite nicely, I think, with the Precision Ag Center that is being built at SDSU.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. You know, this SDSU is not always had a huge reputation for value-added ag and expertise and skills, but you partner that with the businesses that we have here in South Dakota, and then agriculture being our foundation. What's fun about this is that we're already getting new businesses that have to do with GPS systems, technology, even cybersecurity, that are interested in partnering with these degree programs because of the well-rounded, you know, background they provide, but also the developments that are happening in ag every day. They need these kinds of companies to partner with them too. So I think when I ran for governor, I talked a lot about bringing the next big industry to our state. And bioprocessing was a part of that. Cybersecurity and technology was a part of that. And all of those are tied into agriculture, which, you know, certainly isn't new, but it is the industry that is by far our most important here in our state.
Well, when I think of boots on the ground agriculture, one thing I think of is, of course, 4-H and FFA, and our South Dakota State Fair is kind of the culmination, the highlights of the show season for our 4-H'ers and FFA members. And they're going to have a pretty fancy facility to hold some shows in come 2022 with the building of the DEX, the Dakota Events Complex. You know, how did that idea come about? And it came about quickly. Everybody was right behind it.
You know, Jody, this is probably the project I'm the most excited about. I suppose it's probably just because I grew up at the South Dakota State Fair, showing animals there. My girls showed cattle there. We did horse shows and events there all the time and projects. And so just every year, the South Dakota State Fair has been a tradition. And it's where people come together and enjoy all the things that are special to our state. When the beef complex burned down on October 31st of last year, my team came and informed me about it, and we were talking about it, and I said, well, we have to build it back, but we have to build it back way better than even what it was. Build it for the future and make sure it's a facility that we can recruit national livestock shows, where we can recruit large, huge rodeos and create a facility like we don't have in South Dakota. I had watched our state miss out on hosting the national high school finals and the national junior high rodeo finals, or even big professional rodeo events and livestock events, because we didn't have a facility that could handle that kind of people and that amount of livestock. So that's really the vision behind this, and the fact that the legislature funded matching dollars from local folks and the insurance money from the building burning down is going to be a unique opportunity for us to create a facility like we've never had in the state of South Dakota. It'll be a huge boost for Huron and for the state fair, but it also will be a place that will be filled year-round with gun shows, sport shows, livestock shows that will be continue to bring people into South Dakota every single month of the year.
Legislative session may only be about 2.5 months of the year in South Dakota, but legislative happenings occur year-round, and a special session, you're likely to call one of those in late May, early June. What topics are you hoping to address when that date comes about?
Yeah, I think we'll probably have to have a special session here in a couple of months. We have some federal dollars that will be coming in because of the stimulus package that passed through Congress, and we'll have to talk about budget authority, and the legislature will have to give us some direction on those dollars and where we should continue to use them or how we should direct them within the state of South Dakota. Also, I'm asking the legislature for some changes to the medical marijuana program. In the ballot measure that was on the ballot last fall, it said that each person who was home growing marijuana in their home had to have a minimum of 3 plants. And we've been looking at that, believing that they meant to put maximum of 3 plants, because having someone be able to grow a minimum of 3 plants means that they could get a prescription from a doctor to have medical marijuana, and they could raise 50 acres of marijuana if they wanted to, because there is no maximum cap in there. So I'm asking them to go back and take a look at that, see if there is a way that we could put a minimum or a maximum on top of that as well. And then also, kids under the age of 21 have other options for accessing medical marijuana rather than smoking marijuana. So I'd like to ask them to look at that and see if there's an opportunity to restrict the actual smoking of marijuana under the age of 21. And then we need some rulemaking authorities for the Department of Health to clarify how we can put forward the rules on this medical marijuana program before it goes into place here on July 1st. So I also know that there was a lot of discussion over women's sports at the end of session, and I have put forward some executive orders saying that only girls should play in girls' sports in the state of South Dakota. I believe that when we come back as well, the legislature may take a look at those and see if they want to take those executive orders and put them into law. I think it would be important to do that. I can call a session, but it's really up to the Speaker of the House, Spencer Gosch, if he thinks it's important enough to have the discussion, or if they would like to, you know, move forward and keep the executive orders in place too. So we'll have that discussion. But those are the three topics I think special session could be about: the federal dollars, a couple of changes, or, you know, an adjustments to the medical marijuana, and then also the girls' sports issue.
What is the urgency with the fairness in women's sports issue? Why the executive order? Where is this a problem or a situation that we're trying to prevent?
You know, I think that the conversations happening in South Dakota and across the country, the executive orders are a temporary fix, and they can stay in place until special session or next session. But it's to ensure that we're having fair competition at the K-12 level and at the collegiate level. So, you know, I think a lot of people are concerned that Title IX is being eroded away. Title IX was an opportunity that leveled the playing field for women, and they want to ensure that here in South Dakota that girls aren't competing against boys, or especially in our K-12 schools, that you might have a 13, 14-year-old girl that ends up with a boy on her team, and before you know it, they're sharing locker rooms and showers and all of those kinds of things that we've seen happen in other states. And so the legislators brought a bill this year that had some restrictions on K-12 and college sports as far as girls only playing girls. It also had some other sections in it that opened up a lot of litigation on school districts. It opened up discussions on performance-enhancing drugs and didn't have a lack of definition. That's why I asked for some changes to that bill before I would sign it. The legislature declined to accept my changes, and so that's why I came forward with the executive orders. But we'll see what happens if they choose to have this discussion during special session. If they don't, then, you know, the executive orders will certainly stay in place. That's my intention, is to protect girls' sports and make sure that we only have girls playing in girls' sports in our state.
Is this an issue right now? Is it something, or is this happening in large numbers? Is there a situation that we're trying to resolve? Or
yeah, I think that the discussion started with some couple of our legislators and some national organizations. I don't think it's a big issue in our state right now, but it is something that people are passionate about, and it's a fairness issue. So the bill came through the legislature, sponsored by some, and we had some discussion. The bill did fail in the Senate and then was smoked out and placed on my desk, and that's when we started to take a look and see that while the purpose of protecting girls' sports is incredibly important, there were other parts of this bill that were unlike any others in the country and really created a lot of problems with litigation for families of any children who played in sports. So that's why I asked for some changes, and the legislature did not accept those. So that's why we have the executive orders in place, and we'll see what the discussion is coming up in that special session or next year's session. You know, I would say, Jody, the one thing is, you talk to people in South Dakota, I'd say the vast majority of them, 70 to 80% of them, you know, will tell you that they do believe that only girls should be competing in girls' sports. They recognize the differences physically between a man's body and a woman's body, and that there are things that make men stronger and faster, bigger lung capacity, you know, larger muscles. And so that if you have the discussion with people, they do believe, you know, the vast majority of them, that only girls should be competing in girls' sports, and that that's important to protect.
What information do you need to know yet in order to pick the date for the special session?
We're really waiting for the Treasury Department at the federal level to send us guidance. So they have to send us guidance on how these dollars should be spent before we can really come back into session and ask the legislature for approval and budget authority in those areas. So as soon as we hear from the federal government and the Treasury Department on what kind of guidance they can provide to us, that'll give us some direction and we can move forward. So looking forward to that. And and then we can come in. And I don't expect it to be a very long session, a day or two. And it depends on what other topics that they would like to discuss. But I anticipate that a day or two of special session should be all that would be necessary.
Again, visiting with South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem, just kind of recapping the 2021 legislative session. Governor, thanks for some time and just kind of giving us your perspective on how the session went.
Absolutely. We did a lot of incredible work this session. We defended our freedoms. We made some conservative investments in trust funds and reserves and in long-term projects for our future and our kids. We protected life with the Down syndrome abortion ban, a born alive ban. We did some religious freedom bills that protect our religious freedom, and did some homeschool reforms that allow parents to have more choices in how they educate their kids. So the other bill that we signed that was incredibly important, considering the federal debate on Second Amendment rights and guns, we did a Stand Your Ground bill that got signed into law this year as well. And so a lot of, while we do budget and have discussions on things that end up in the press a lot, we also did a lot of other bills that will be incredibly important to the people of South Dakota and will make a difference in defending their freedoms as well.
Again, South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem, I'm DRG Media Group News and Farm Director Jody Heemstra.